I'm going to start out there with a story for you about a young soldier and his commander. They got on a train together, but the only available seats were right across from a pretty young woman who was traveling with her grandmother. Have any of you been on the older trains that the seats face each other? There's not a lot of room between the seats, but this was the way they were traveling. They engaged in pleasant conversation. The soldier and the young woman kept eyeing each other, and the attraction was obviously mutual. Suddenly, the train went through a dark tunnel, become pitch black in the rail car. Immediately, two sounds were heard: the smack of a kiss and the slap of a hand slapping a face. The grandmother thought, "I can't believe he kissed my granddaughter, but I'm glad that she gave him the slap he deserved." The commanding officer thought, "I don't blame the boy for kissing the girl. She's pretty, but it's a shame that she missed his face and hit me instead." And the young girl thought, "I'm glad he kissed me, but I wish my grandmother hadn't slapped him for doing it." As the train come back out into the sunlight, there was a soldier that had a smile on his face that you couldn't wipe off. You see, he had just seized the moment, an opportunity to kiss a pretty girl and slap his commanding officer, and he got away with both. Now, that young soldier knew how to seize opportunity. In the same way, we have to learn to take advantage of the opportunities that God gives us. It comes our way to fulfill our purpose in life every day. Unfortunately, we get so caught up in the details of our life a lot of times that our day-to-day living, we just don't give ourselves the time, or we see the opportunities to seize. You see, we have problems, we have deadlines, we have commitments. We worry about our families. We worry about what we should be doing with our time. We have priorities that have to be taken care of. Then there's the distractions and the obstacles that come day to day. Have you ever felt like, "I just now got everything on track and everything's starting to move forward, and man, you hit a bump in the road again. One more obstacle to your clear sailing." I know it's been that way in my life, and I'm sure it has for everybody else in here. We really want fulfillment each day, don't we? Don't we want to go through every day thinking by the end of the day that we accomplished something? That day felt good. I got through it with no problems. I accomplished what I wanted to accomplish, and I feel like my life was full. I want to talk about seize the moment, seize the day. And I believe Paul had a philosophy on life that we need to copy. And we find it in Philippians 3. I'm going to read chapter 3 and I'm going to read verses 7 through 16. He said, "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being comforted to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay a hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. You see, if we learn the lesson that Paul gives us here in these scriptures, we could live life to the fullest. We could recognize the opportunities that he's laid before us. No matter how hectic our lives, we'll see Christ in the world around us in all we do. I want to go give you three steps this morning, hopefully to help attain this view of life, this ability to seize the moment. And the first is to find your purpose. If I asked you today, what is your purpose in life? I'm sure I'd get different answers from all of you. Maybe be a good wife, be a good husband. Maybe be a good mother, a good father. Maybe get better at my job, improve my skills. Be a good teacher, nurse, mechanic, etc., so on and so on. Those answers are good. Those answers are great, but they're not quite right. The question is, what is our primary purpose in life? Our primary purpose. In other words, what is your reason for living? You know, you can say, well, I'm living for my family. That's good, but that's not your primary purpose. Everything in creation has a primary purpose or a reason for existing. For anyone or anything to be successful, it has to fulfill that purpose. I'm sure everyone in this room wants to be successful in life. So I got an easy question for you this morning. What is the primary purpose of a car? Pretty simple, right? The answer is transportation. That's the primary purpose of your car. Now, you can have a nice, beautiful SUV, pickup truck, station wagon, van, whatever you drive, sitting in your garage. But if it doesn't run, it's worthless. It can't fulfill its primary purpose. It just sits there. So what do you do when it's time to go to work in the morning? You got that beautiful car sitting in the garage that can't fulfill its function in life? Yeah, like me, you climb in your 10-year-old trunk clunker and drive to work. It'll fulfill its purpose. This is a simple illustration. But just as every car has a primary purpose, every individual has a primary purpose that God has given us. In our lives, we'll be without meaning. We'll be failures unless we find out what our purpose in life is, our reason for living. And Paul stated that for us. Philippians 3:10 and 11, he says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Simply what Paul's saying here is, I want to know Christ so I can be like him. And that's also our reason for living. That's our primary purpose, to strive to be like Christ. If we strive to be like Christ, everything else falls into place. Our worship of God falls into place. How we manage our relationships fall into place. Our jobs, everything is tied together in our ability to become like Christ. So I put it to you today that your primary purpose in life is to do whatever it takes to be like Christ. Everything we do is secondary to that purpose. And everything that I do, everything that you do, should point to that primary purpose in life, to be like Christ. The second thing we have to do if we want to seize the moment or seize the day, Paul says we have to forget the past. This is an important scripture, Philippians 3:13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. You cannot seize the day if you're tied up in your past. You're too worried about things that have come and have gone, things that you can't do anything about. First thing we have to forget is the bad. Just like all of us in this room today, Paul had a past he had to forget. He had tortured and murdered innocent people in the name of his faith. He had caused a lot of pain and done much damage to the cause of Christ. He persecuted Christians. But now he was faced with a choice. He could either dwell on his mistakes of the past and let them ruin his life. It would ruin his chance for effective ministry. We know God called him. God knocked him on the ground. The other thing he could do is forget about it and move on with his life. Paul had a choice to make, and so do each one of you here today. We all have a past. We haven't all been perfect in God's eyes every day of our lives. We can try, we can struggle, but everyone in this room has failed at one point or another. Maybe you had a bad experience here just lately, something you stumbled over. Or maybe you did something a long time ago in your past. Maybe you're ashamed of it. Maybe it's just circumstances. But these memories keep coming back. They keep haunting you of the sins of the past. These memories keep you from living a full life today because you can't seize the moment when you're worried about things that you did years ago. I know in my case, I have to constantly struggle with putting down memories of things I've done in the past. But guess what? We all have a past. Get over it. It's over. It's done. There's nothing you can do about it. But it can't hurt you anymore. Oh yeah, there's consequences sometimes we have to deal with. But you have to move forward. You can't undo what has been done. Move on. There's a story. This is true. I looked it up to make sure. New Year's Day, 1929. Georgia Tech was playing California. Late in the second quarter, a guy by the name of Roy Regals recovered a fumble for California. And in his excitement, he became disoriented and began running in the wrong direction. Well, after racing 65 yards, he was finally tackled and put down by one of his own players. California attempted to kick out of their end zone, but it was blocked. Georgia Tech scored a safety on him, and it was halftime. The players went into the locker room. Roy Regal sat in the corner with his face buried in his hands, crying. The room was silent. The coach did make his usual halftime speech. But just before the team was to take the field, he said the starting team will start the second half also. The whole team got up and ran out except Regals. He stayed in his corner with his hands buried in his, with his face buried in his hands. And he said, "I can't do it, coach. I can't go back out there." He said, "I can't play. I ruined the team." But the coach said, "Get up. The game is only half over. You belong on the field." And guess what? Our game isn't over either. And whatever mistakes you made, we still have the rest of the game to play. It doesn't matter if the enemy scored off of you in the past. That's over. We got another half to play. God is willing to forget the mistakes of the first half, and he expects us to do the same. Do you understand that God expects us to forgive ourselves? He makes it very explicit in the Bible. Isaiah 43:25, he said, "I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins." For my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. And Jeremiah says, "I'll forgive their iniquities, their sins I'll remember no more." God says this. You can believe it. You know, this is kind of like one of those crises of faith that we talk about in experiencing God. Do you believe that God forgives your sin? He blots them out? That's the faith. That's the understanding of what God's word says. We can sit and beat ourselves up for the things that we did in the past, but God said, no, I forgave that. That doesn't exist anymore. You're to move on. Now, when we're forgetting the past, forgetting the bad is only half of it. You know what else? We have to forget the good. Imagine everybody here has heard the song by Bruce Springsteen, Glory Days. Everybody know what that's about? It's about a guy who can't quit thinking about all the fun he had back in high school. And then he says, time slips away and leaves you with nothing but boring stories of glory days. You see, not only do we dredge up the bad in our past, sometimes we have a tendency to zero in on the good times in the past. Well, we can't base our future on that. Maybe it was high school. Maybe it was when you first got married. Maybe it was college, the birth of your children. Those are all good. Those are all great things. But we can't base our service to God on the good things in our past either. And this happens in churches. People say, remember the good old days. Remember when we were in the old building, or we were down the street, or when so-and-so did the music. These are all great and wonderful memories. But we can't use that to base our future. Our future is ahead of us. You see, Paul knew that a good past wasn't a guarantee of a great future. Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 through 7. Just backing up a little bit here. Though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, of Hebrew, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee. You know, Paul, right there, laid out his heritage, something to be proud of as a Jew. And he goes on, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. He's kind of looking back at his glory days. It was bad stuff, but when he was living it, it was glorious. He was doing what the law called for. Of course, then Jesus come along and knocked him off his horse. And he found out what it was to be a Christian. So he has to lay those things aside. Paul was saying, I'm not going to live in the past. My reason for living is to be like Jesus. Whatever happened yesterday, good or bad, is now ancient history. I'll live for Jesus today. One thing that you can believe, one thing that you can take away from here today, is God never consults your past to determine your future. God has a future for you. A future if you're available today. If you're willing to seize the day, seize the moment, and move ahead. The third thing I wanted to mention was facing the present. Going back to Philippians 3:13 again, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. It's easy to live in the past. It's easy to dream away your future. But it is really a challenge to face the present. It means we no longer can allow ourselves the luxury of saying, one of these days I'll do something about my problem with my temper. One of these days I'll do something, and you insert whatever your own problem is there. one of these days doesn't fit anymore. We have to live in the present, and that day is here. The area between forgetting the past and reaching forward is now. 11th chapter of John, there's a story that I'm sure everyone here is familiar with. It's a story about Jesus' good friend Lazarus when he died. Jesus arrived at the tomb. Lazarus had already died. He'd been dead 4 days. Lazarus' sister Martha, she came to Jesus and spoke a classic phrase used by people who live in the past. She said, "If only." That's a good way to tell if you're living your life in the past, if you say "if only" a lot. She said, "Jesus, if only had you been here, my brother would not have died." And then Jesus told her, "Martha, your brother will rise again." Martha began dreaming about the future. In the scriptures, she said, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." That's not what Jesus was talking about. He wasn't talking about the future. See, Martha knew Jesus had power in the past, and she knew he would have power in the future, the resurrection. But like Martha, we aren't quite so sure about his power in the presence. I'd say for most of us, we have no problem. We have no problem believing that Christ performed miracles in the past. We study him in the Bible. We read about him. The greatest one of all was dying on the cross and rising the third day. We have no problem believing that, right? We have no problem as Christians believing in the future that he's coming back to get us. He's going to take us home with him. We're going to dwell in heaven and be with God. Do we have any problem believing that? I hope not. But why is it we have such a problem believing in him in the present day? God is here today just as he was in the past and just as he will be in the future. It's our faith that's weak. We have faith in the future, faith in the past. But we're a little weak in the present. We face our problems head on. The problem is we use our head. We don't allow the mind of Christ to get in there. In John 11, 26 and 27, listen to what Jesus said to Martha. "And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." Martha said, "Yes, I believe you are Christ, the Son of God." And I believe that she understood at that moment that he wasn't just the Christ of yesterday, not just the Christ of tomorrow, but she believed in Christ at that moment, in that present. It was that moment that Martha began to face the present and put her faith into action. We need to say, "Yes, Lord, we believe," and put our faith into action. I don't know what any of you are facing today. You know, I know some problems that people talk to me about, things that we're facing. But you know, the Lord is still on the mountaintop. He still calms the stormy waters. We need to say, "Yes, Lord, I believe you still work in my life. Yes, Lord, I believe that you work in the lives of those that love you. Yes, Lord, I believe that you still answer prayers. And if we need to ask, Lord, help me get over my disbelief that you work in the present." We are so ready to grab a hold and hang on to our problems instead of giving it to God. God's got that. He's got whatever you need. Facing the present means we put our faith in Christ. And trusting him means we allow him to be involved in every part of our lives in the present. Facing the present means that we choose to live life as it comes to us day by day. I can't stand up here and tell you, don't worry. I can't tell myself that. But I can tell you that Christ is there when you start to worry. That's part of the present. I know we worry about our children, we worry about our jobs, we worry about what the future holds, but that goes contrary to what the Bible tells us. God doesn't want us to waste our lives away. He wants us to seize the moment. You have to live every day of your life with a purpose, and that purpose is to grow closer and closer to being Christ-like. It gives us every reason for living. It doesn't matter that we'll never accomplish it in this lifetime. It's the journey. It's the journey of the present, of seizing the day. It's not going to happen yesterday, and we can't put it off till tomorrow because tomorrow never comes. It has to happen right now. We have to seize the moment and make it our own. Let's all stand together. Let's bow our heads. Take just a moment. Like I said, you know about Jesus' miracles in the past. And you know in your heart that he's coming back for us in the future. But I want to ask you today to trust him today. He still works miracles. Your past is forgiven. Your future is firmly in God's hands. See, Jesus is the Lord right now. He's the Lord of your every day. We wonder what the future holds. But I'll tell you, if you live every day, live it in the moment with the idea of everything I do to become more like Christ. That your future will unfold ahead of you and you'll have no cause for concern because Jesus is there. God is there, and he'll guide you. Whatever you're going through, whatever your pain, worry, frustration, or any need in your life, reach out to Jesus and seize the moment today. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I just praise you. Father, I thank you for your forgiveness of sin. Father, you love us so much that you gave us away. You sacrificed your only son, the only perfect man to ever walk this world. But you did it out of love for your children. You gave us a way to approach you. You gave us an example, a way to live our life. And through the power of your Spirit, you give us the means to accomplish that. Father, I pray this morning that everyone here we'll hold on to that. We'll seize the day and live for Christ. As frustration and worry, pain creeps in every day, Father, I just ask that you will bless them. That small voice from the mountaintop will still hear and calm our lives, Father, and guide us to be more like Christ. Father, there's many here today that are sick. I just pray for them. I lift them up to you, Father. For the loss of a loved one, Father, the pain that we feel, I just pray for that also. Ask you pour your blessings out. Those that are traveling on vacation, Father, I ask that you would keep them safe. And through that voice, you will speak to them and you will guide their lives. I ask that you would pour your blessings out on this body of believers, that you would strengthen us, give us unity, focus us to move ahead. Father, I choose to live moment to moment. I choose to live my life following Christ and trying to attain what you call us to do. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.